O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we come to the end of the series that we've been doing in James. Always feel a bit mixed about getting to an end of series because I have to think what happens next, or more particularly be praying for what happens next. And we haven't exhausted James. There's a lot more, and certainly today in what I'm going to share, a lot more could have been dug out of the passage. And as I was hearing it read by Kay just before, I thought, oh yeah, I could have done that and I could have done this. But this is what just seemed right for today. A story: as little Deborah sat down to eat dinner and reached for a fork, her father said, "Please hold on, we haven't said grace yet." This frustrated the girl, who was tired and hungry. "Daddy," she said with a sigh, "why can't we just pray once a week? Why do we have to ask for daily bread every day?" Now, her older brother, like older brothers will do, decided that he was wiser and was eager to set her straight, as older siblings tend to do. Unless you're an older sibling, in which case you think you've got the right to do. And he weighed in before Dad could answer. "You don't think we want stale bread, do you?" he said. Now, inadvertently, Deborah's brother confirmed the importance of regular prayer. Now, we heard in our reading, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. There's a lot contained in that statement. The earnest prayer, not just something that's flippant or passing, but the earnest prayer of what kind of person? A righteous person, because we are righteous in Christ, aren't we? So there's a centrality of Jesus all contained in this. Has great power and change things, change circumstances, change life. Not because of the person, but because of God working through that person. That makes sense. It's the way it is. But there is an availability that comes, that God uses, that produces wonderful results. Now, the Bible teaches us that those who have the habit of prayer experience many wonderful things from the hand of God. Scripture and church history both tell us that those who have served God in the most significant ways have been people with a committed and honest prayer life. It's still said that Praying Hyde, who was a great prayer in India back years ago, that the answers to his prayers are still being worked out in the great numbers of people that are coming to faith. It's amazing. And his prayer, not suggesting this is what we all ought to aspire for, but his prayer, he prayed with such depth that the doctors found his heart had physically moved across his chest. Don't ask me how that happens. It doesn't work in my head, but that's what they've had. And they told him he'd better stop doing what he was doing. Did he? No. No. Now, I'm not saying that's what you should be looking forward to experience, but there is something substantial which you and I need to embrace, and that is having a committed and honest prayer life. Now, our reading from James covers all sorts of situations to be grounded in prayer. Tough times, good times, when we're sick, when we're struggling with shame, guilt, and the need to know the freedom of forgiveness. Prayer needs to be as natural as breathing. It needs to be something that comes from us, something we desire to do. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power to produce wonderful results. So what are some of the rich rewards that come to those who have committed themselves to a life of prayer? And I'm going to suggest here today five. One, the vivid awareness of and nearness of God. Two, the vital experience of the love and favour of God. Three, the enlightening experience of the wisdom of God. Fourth, the enabling experience of the strength of God. And fifthly, the cleansing experience of the forgiveness of God. And one of the things that I found quite fascinating as I've worked on this over the last fortnight is that every time as I worked on it, for me, there was just this profound sense of God's presence. And, I noticed that at other times. But it just seemed like talking about talking with him was something he wanted to make sure I got it. And so there was just that profoundness of his presence as I was preparing the stuff. And because my heart is that you know that. That you know for yourself. The first thing, the vivid awareness of the nearness of God. James in chapter 4 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. When we come gratefully and humbly before God in prayer, we are in effect entering the throne room of of Father God. One of the great benefits of this is that we can experience a vivid awareness of his nearness. Now, if this sounds strange to you or not been in your experience, may I suggest that you really take the time to be still. Maybe some years ago we were talking about hearing God's voice. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Quieten yourself down. Tune into spontaneity. Tune into that flow of the Spirit and then write the stuff down. And that still stands. Focus your eyes on Jesus. Quieten yourself down. Allow your mind to quieten. And take something perhaps like Psalm 23. Or a familiar hymn, or a Christian song, but the scriptures have a place and authority all of their own. And read it slowly, with thought. And allow the words to sink deep into you, and take the time to be with God and honour his presence. It pleases him, because that's what you were created for. To be in his presence. The experience of knowing the nearness of God can be deeply disturbing, however, for someone who does not know God's forgiveness. Hear the anguish in Isaiah when he found himself in such a place. He said, it's all over. I'm doomed. I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's army. And he was undone. Woe is me, I am undone. There's this old statement from somewhere. He was acutely aware of his unholiness and the holiness and presence of God. Think of Peter, the big fisherman, after the miracle at Galilee. He cries out to Jesus, O Lord, please lead me, I am a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. And Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. But the wonderful, truly wonderful thing about being in God's presence is that it can be very comforting. And we will know the truth of what David meant when he wrote, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and staff protect to comfort me. God gives strength and help in time of difficulty. It may not come in the way that we would like it, but it will come. Knowing God in this way can be very life-changing. Paul gives us this hope, for I can do all things or can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. The assurance of the nearness of God can give us courage and even joy as we journey each day with its ordinariness on one side or its challenges or its celebrations. So secondly, a committed life of prayer can give a vital experience of the love and favour of God. Now, Jesus taught his disciples to approach God not on the basis of him being their creator, but as our Father in heaven. There's something closer, more intimate there, isn't there? While he is the God who is in heaven, he is also our Father who we can talk with in the closest way. When the gears shift and we know that there is a clear two-way conversation happening with God, we will also know love and blessing. It is in the prayer experience that the Father communicates his nearness, and we discover that we are a favourite child of God. This comes to those who look to him in faith and trust. I was talking with somebody recently, and I can't remember the whole conversation, but effectively we were sharing a common experience where, I can't remember his story, but I can certainly remember mine, where in the first instance it happened, I was driving out of Collingwood one Sunday evening when I was doing some ministry over there, and I knew I was not in the car alone. I knew there was someone sitting in the seat beside me. And And I have had the experience again since I've been here one day coming back from Nelson. I knew. I just knew. You know when there's somebody in the car with you, don't you? I mean, it's kind of, you just know that they're there. Whether they're saying anything or not, you just know that they're there. If they're in the back seat, you know that they're there. Except for this was in the seat right alongside me. You know. He just wants us to know that he's there, that it's real. It's something tangible, something that you know and you know of. Thirdly, a committed life of prayer can give us an enlightening experience of the wisdom of God. Right at the beginning of his letter, James wrote, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he'll give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave on the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do." There's times where I feel that instability. I just feel like I'm being blown around because my tension gets split. I have to come back to that place where I know I'm welcome. Throughout the Bible and in history, we have story after story of how, as men and women have prayed, God has stimulated their thinking and caused them to have new understanding and ideas into how to deal with specific problems, strains, or pressures. People will say to me, "Look, I didn't know what to do, and I had a dream. And in the dream I saw this and thus, and all of a sudden made sense. Or I was struggling with something and I happened to open my Bible and read, and there was the word." Or God speaks to us in just a huge number of ways. I was talking with my neighbour and I just really had been stuck and I'd been praying about it. And all of a sudden they said, and there was the insight. God has helped his discouraged children to recall his goodness and his mercy in the past, to help them face the pressures and the struggles of the present. Fourthly, a committed life of prayer can give us an empowering experience of the strength of God. Isaiah again, he elsewhere wrote, "He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion." Hey, isn't that good to know when we're not feeling quite up to par? "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like an eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Time spent in the presence of God fills the child of God with strength that comes from heaven. Now, I think we're all young enough to remember the Popeye cartoons. Remember the Popeye cartoons? I'm convinced that the Popeye cartoons were written by a parent who was frustrated with the children for not eating their spinach and wanted to make a point. Certainly felt like that when I was small. Anyway, we remember how it all works. Popeye the character, he's faced with many difficulties and situations and dangerous crises. What was this girl's name?
Olive Oil.
Yeah. Anyway. When his strength ran out, he opened a can. This sounds terrible, doesn't it? Opened a can of spinach and down it went, and his strength came and victory was won. Yeah. Well, just bear that in mind, because there is some truth to it in our walk with God. Time spent with our Father in heaven gives us strength in the face of the impossible. And it's there for the taking. It's there because it's offered us. If we don't take it, who's responsible? I am. Paul prayed for the followers of Jesus at Ephesus that they would know and experience God's glorious, unlimited resources, and he will empower them with the inner strength through his Spirit. Great prayer to pray, isn't it? Great prayer to pray for your kids and for one another, and they will know the glorious unlimited resources. He will empower them, the inner strength through his Spirit, and that they may experience the love of Christ so that they will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, I pray that almost daily for my children. Now, Paul, in this prayer, encourages them to trust in and depend on God, who was at work within them and who was able to do far more abundantly than anything that they had previously asked for or even thought about. Now, fifthly, a committed life of prayer can give us a cleansing experience of the forgiveness of God. God is eager to forgive his children. He is eager to cleanse us and make us whole and free us of shame, guilt, and all the stuff that separates him from ourselves and others. That was the intention of God right from the beginning of time when the fall occurred. All through the Old Testament, it's this constant thing. I love you, I care for you, I care for your circumstances, but folks, you live with the consequences of your judgments, and sometimes the consequences of those judgments will reap the judgment of God, because he is just. Does that make sense? But right from the beginning of time, our Heavenly Father does not like it when we are struggling with guilt or shame or burdened by the things that causes us separation. He is eager that we give up the ways and attitudes that are destructive and come to him for forgiveness and healing. And that's the significance of what James is talking about when he says, you know, if you need forgiveness, come and seek that. If you're sick, get the elders. Now, that does not necessarily mean that only the elders can come and anoint people with oil. I think that's an erroneous position that people take to. If you're with your sick friend and you think it's right, well, gosh, it'd be good to anoint them with oil, go and get some oil out of the cupboard. You know, pray that God will bless them and then bless them with it. But there is also something significant as well, because sometimes positions of authority have a role in the tent of God. To call the elders, I mean, elders, anybody older than you. No, call those who are leaders of the faith around you, that they would stand and pray, and that's what James is looking at. But do not decide that therefore you've got to be a clown like me in order to, you know, have the magic somewhere, because it doesn't work like that. God is passionately keen to hear you praying for the healing and the forgiveness of others. The Bible tells us that our God is a forgiving God who fully forgives freely and forever. And to benefit from this, we need to give up the things that disrupt fellowship, destroy influence, and deprive us of joy. Prayer is a God-given gift by which we can come into his presence, receive his forgiveness, and experience both the freedom that follows and the joy of a restored fellowship. So to conclude, do not rob yourself by neglecting to pray. When you do not feel like praying, that is probably all the more reason to pray. Prayer is not a process by which you earn brownie points with God. It won't work. Prayer is not a magical means to ensure something happens automatically, you'll be disappointed. Prayer is meant to be an experience in which spiritual transformation takes place. This is why Paul commands us to rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. Now, 4-year-old Melinda's favourite story was the Three Little Pigs, which she asked her mum and dad to read every night before bed. I think you'll resonate with this. And they gladly did this, but after several months, her father got a bright idea, as sometimes fathers do. And he recorded the story and told her to simply press play before jumping into bed. Now, she didn't like this at all. "But honey," he told her, like a good, reasonable man, "you can still hear it." "Yes," she replied, "but I can't sit in its lap." I wonder which was the more important, the story or the lap? I think the lap. But why be told if you try, as we were saying after the morning service, if you skip a page? And amazingly, the creator of the universe is eager to spend time with you and with me. But the only way we can experience this conversation and communion with him is through personal and corporate prayer. Father, your heart is for us. You long for us to come into your presence and draw on the life you desire to give us, to bless us with. Increase our hunger and desire for the life of prayer by increasing our desire to be in your presence, to climb on your lap, as it were, to snuggle in and just talk with you. Help us to get over our adultness. Tries to work it all out by ourselves, for ourselves, rather than to trust you in the simplicity of a child, longing to hear a father's wisdom. And we're never too old to be in that place. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.